imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And then moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every corner. You know, I know that most of y'all have either experienced some sort of disease yourself or had a family member who's been sick. You know, yesterday my grandmother fell, you know, for the second time in the past month, and she was in the hospital. And we all have these moments of crisis where we wonder why, maybe where God is, or why doesn't God bring healing? And this is certainly true in the life of this man. This man suffered from leprosy, and leprosy came in all different kinds of forms and in all different kinds of types. And some of it was malignant, some of it was non-malignant, some of it was life-endangering, some of it wasn't life-endangering. And the Bible doesn't really say what this leper had, but we know that he came to Christ. Leprosy in the Old Testament was something that was seen as divine judgment. A lot of times people that had leprosy, they were viewed as being sick, not just because of having some disease, but as punishment. Something that God had was doing in them because they had done something wrong before the Lord. Leprosy, a leper was not only alienated from other people because he was sick, but according to Old Testament law, lepers weren't allowed to touch any objects. They weren't allowed to touch any persons. Because anybody that had leprosy, if they were to touch you, then you would be made impure, or you would be made unclean. And so we have this guy who comes to Christ. And the first thing that he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." And you know, when we see these words, they might not mean a whole lot to us, but if you look at the Old Testament, nobody ever approaches leprosy in this way. In the Old Testament, we see in Numbers chapter 12 that Moses' sister Miriam, she was struck with leprosy, and her skin was made white, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that Moses was marrying a Cushite. Moses was marrying a black woman. And Miriam didn't really like this, and so God, as a fitting curse, turned her skin a different color as well and said, "Hey, Miriam, get over it." But we see that Miriam in the Old Testament, whenever she wanted to be healed, she didn't just go up to Moses and say, "Hey, Moses, you know, if you will, you can make me clean." She went up to Moses and she said, "Moses, will you talk to God for me so that God can heal me?" And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 13, it says that Moses cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her." In the other instance in the Old Testament, we all know the story, or some of it, hopefully we do, of Naaman. And Naaman was a foreigner that had leprosy. He was told that there were by a slave girl in his house who was an Israelite, that there was a prophet in Israel who could bring him healing. And so Naaman gets a letter from his master, and he brings it to the king. And it's essentially asking the king, "Hey, will you provide me healing?" And the king says, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life?" The king says, "Am I the Lord that I can heal this disease?" And Naaman, later on, he goes to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha doesn't immediately heal Naaman. He says, "You know, you need to go to the Jordan and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. But this guy, unlike the other episodes that we read about in the Old Testament, goes right up to Jesus, and he doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, if you want to, you can talk to God and God can heal me." He doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, if you want to, you can go run and get the prophet and the prophet can heal me." But he says, "Hey, Jesus, if you want to heal me, you can make me clean." And Jesus' response isn't to kneel down and pray and ask the Father. Jesus' response isn't to perform some sort of ritual. Jesus' response is to say, "I will, be clean. And at that very instant, the disease that this man had, and the way that the verbs kind of work in Greek, is that you see this man who is covered in leprosy, you see his entire body heal at that moment. And what's going on here is not just a healing, but it's a proclamation of who Jesus is. That Jesus has the authority to heal, that Jesus has the authority to reverse a disease which might be the result of a divine judgment. Jesus can reverse what might be judgment on this man's life. Jesus has authority not only over disease, but we might be seeing here that Jesus has authority over the sin in this man's life. And Jesus also breaks barriers. We see that Jesus is willing to break a social custom. You see, this guy was willing to break a social barrier to get to Jesus. He comes before him, and he doesn't not touch him, but he kneels before him. And in Greek, it's this verb that means like he kneeled before him, but he also grabs his legs. So this man who's leprous, who's been rejected by society, been rejected by people, runs up to Jesus and grabs his legs, and Jesus doesn't say, no, don't do that. No, don't touch me. Jesus reaches out and touches this man. And this might have been the first time that this guy has been touched in years. Because back in this time, they'd added rules that were already given on the Old Testament, because we're great at human beings at doing that. We want to add more rules to God's rules because we want to be God to ourselves. But they added rules where if you had touched somebody, not only would you make that person impure, but the priests were going to get you, and they were going to give you 40 lashes. In other words, they were going to try to near beat you to death. You don't touch anybody if you're a leper. And Jesus breaks that tradition and says, not only am I going to let you touch me, but I'm going to graciously reach out and touch you, and I'm going to proclaim you clean. And not only does Jesus heal his disease, but Jesus brings about restoration in this man's life. He begins to be a part of society again. He tells him, go to the priest, which would have required this man to travel up to Jerusalem and perform an 8-day-long ceremony. But he says, go to the priest and do what the Old Testament laws commanded you. Why? So that this man could begin to be found clean by the priest at the temple in Jerusalem, which was the only place that he could go, so that he could begin to hang around his family again, so that he could begin to hang around his friends again, so that he could have a life where he wasn't an outcast. This man was restored to community because of Jesus Christ and because of who he believed Jesus Christ was. And then Jesus Christ gives him this further command to not tell anybody. Don't speak to anybody about it. And there's probably a lot of reasons why Jesus does this, but number one, Jesus isn't a healer that's out for public fame. Jesus isn't somebody who's on TV healing people so that he can get his name out there. Jesus isn't somebody asking you to send your money in and then he'll provide you with healing. Jesus is somebody who he doesn't want the spotlight. He doesn't demand fame, but very humbly, behind the scenes, he heals somebody. You know, as we look at the scripture, I think that there's a lot of things that we can learn and that we can apply to our own life when it comes to healing and disease, and when it comes to who we say that Jesus is, and when it comes to how we approach Jesus, and when we see how it is that Jesus is going to treat us. And the first point I want to make is just very that. Don't ever be afraid to approach Christ. Don't ever be afraid to get close to Christ. You know, and not only when we ask for healing, because it's perfectly appropriate in the Bible to ask for healing, and it's appropriate in the Bible to expect healing, and I believe that God does heal. You know, if you stop and think about it, God heals us. All healing comes from the Lord. I've never taken any medicine that human beings created out of thin air. But they always make it out of stuff that God has given us on this planet. So all of my healing, if I take a Tylenol, if I have a surgery, God created the surgeon. Every healing that we've ever had comes from God. And we need to not be afraid to give God the credit for that healing. But also as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid to ask God for miraculous healing. We should have the boldness to talk to God and ask Him sometimes that He would provide a miracle. You know, there's a lot of preachers that'll tell you that the time for healing and miracles and that time has passed, and I don't really know how in the world they know that. You know, I remember being on the mission field with my dad, and we were in a jungle in Belize, and there was a little baby. And this little baby had a fever. We weren't going to get to a doctor. There wasn't going to be any medicine. And we weren't going to get to a hospital. But I want you to know that some Christians got on their knees and prayed, and that baby didn't have a fever anymore. But we like to joke about stuff like that, you know? It's like the last thing that we think about. I remember one time when I was a cynical teenager. We all go through that stage. We think we know more than everybody else. Some of us are still in it. Get out of it, okay? All right? But I remember when I was a cynical teenager, my sister used to suffer from migraines, and we were at this Baptist All-State choir event, and my sister felt a migraine coming on. And there are these Christian teenage girls around her that were like, well, we're just going to put our hands on your forehead, and we're going to pray that God would heal you. And here I am, super spiritual preacher's kid. I'm like, that is a bunch of baloney. Like, these people are weird. What are these girls doing? You know, her migraine went away. And I thought to myself, oh, that's just coincidence. You know, I came up with different excuses, almost to excuse that God could bring healing. But He did. And not only can God bring physical healing, but God can bring spiritual healing. See, a lot of what Jesus is doing in this is He's not just healing a disease, He's also healing something that might have been a curse from the Lord. And He's reversing that. And one of the greatest things that Satan does in the Bible is he convinces people that they're too guilty to somehow go before God. That God's going to reject them. That God's not going to use them in the same way. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and necessarily spill my guts to everybody out here. But there's been stuff that I've done in my life where I thought, man, there's no way God can use me again. You know, there's no way God can work through my life again. You know, I need to just give it up. I need to pack it all in. But man, isn't it good to know as a Christian that as a point in your life where you might have given up on God, there's never been a point where God has ever given up on you. Jesus Christ is always ready and willing to reach out His hand and to touch you and provide a spiritual healing that you can't give to yourself. And the effects, when God forgives you, just like the effects of this man's disease were gone in that instant, all the sin, when you ask Christ to forgive you, it's gone right then. And you're not held back by it anymore. You're not held captive by it anymore. You don't have to believe the lies of the devil anymore, that God can't use you, that God can't do great things through your life, because Christ has authority over that stuff, not Satan. And definitely not you. And so don't be afraid to approach Jesus Christ. The other thing we need to do, and this is part of that, is he acknowledged Jesus for who he was. And we miss out on this a lot because when we study this verse, we think it's just a guy going to a prophet asking for a miracle. But when you read the Old Testament text, I mentioned, when you study that things, you know, Jesus doesn't kneel down and pray to God. He doesn't give this guy a ritual, and the guy doesn't go to Jesus and ask Jesus to pray for God on his behalf. The guy says, Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean. And the reason why we don't go to Jesus Christ a lot is because we really don't believe that he is who he says that he is. And that's crazy because we're Christians, you know? We believe that Jesus Christ is God. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. But if you think about it, there's instances and times in our life where we don't believe that Jesus can do anything about it. We say things like, all I can do is pray. Man, that's the first thing you should do. That's what you should be doing every day. Acknowledge Jesus for who he is. You know, we need to be like Christ in that there needs to not be anybody that we're afraid to reach out to. There is nobody in our community who is so sinful that we can't reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you think that, that's because you don't realize how sinful you are. You know, it took me a long time in my religious preacher's kid life to understand that my one little lie was enough for God to have to die for me. Think about that. And we want to pigeonhole people. We want to say that God can't forgive them. We want to say that what they're doing is worse than what we're doing, and it may have more consequences on this earth. That's true. It might have more impactful consequences on this earth, but as far as eternal consequences go, my one little lie was enough to separate me from God. It was so evil that I deserved to go to hell. And it didn't matter if I wasn't getting drunk. It didn't matter if I wasn't doing drugs. It didn't matter if I wasn't sleeping around or doing all the other big things. What matters was that I was a sinner. And there's nobody in your life that you should not be willing to reach out to with the love of Jesus Christ. The next thing that we can learn is that we need to be humble. You know, we need to be humble. I love the fact that Jesus Christ wasn't God who came, was born in a palace, you know, ate gold for breakfast, you know, sat on a throne, demanded all this worship every day. No, the God that we serve came and was born in a feed trough to a simple peasant girl. He was initially worshiped by shepherds. He didn't come seeking notoriety and fame. And we need to be humble as well. Maybe part of the reason God doesn't bring healing sometimes, or God's never allowed me to heal somebody, is he know that my pride couldn't handle it. Maybe I would be so full of myself. Maybe I would start thinking, look what I just did. And I wouldn't give God the glory and give God the credit that he deserves. But we need to be humble. And we also need to be humble when we ask for healing, be it physical or spiritual. We need to be patient and wait on the Lord. You see, a lot of times when we get mad at God is because we want something right then. You know, there used to be a commercial that was in the DFW area. It was, I want my money and I want it now. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that. But we want our things and we want it now. But it might not be ready yet. It might not be time yet. You know, yesterday I was walking around with Ned and my father-in-law, because I was trying to impress him. You know, not really. So we get along. We really do. It's a blessing. So, but we were looking at our pecan tree. All right? So I just decided to use this as a little illustration. This pecan is not ready. Right? And I probably wouldn't want to eat it right now. Now, if I wait a little bit and I put it in a pie, oh my gosh, I love pecan pie. If you make a good pecan pie, I just want you to know my house is right across the street. I can be available at any point in time, you know. But so many times what gets messed up in the Bible is that people want things before God's really to give it to them. Abraham wants children before God's ready to give him a child. And so he goes about it the wrong way. Adam and Eve want to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. If you read the Bible, there's nothing wrong with having knowledge of good and evil. Maybe God will give it to them someday. But she wanted it right then. And so many times we give up on God when it comes to somebody that we're praying for who needs spiritual healing, when it comes to being restored with somebody where we've broken relationships with. So many times we give up on God when God's just telling us, hey, you know what, I'm not ready yet. You know, part of my testimony and part of a lot of other people's testimony is, you know, I was raised a good religious kid and I did know Jesus Christ and I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I went off to school, I didn't do any of the big bad stuff that people always talk about, but I had a just as bad internal rebellion against the Lord. And I started thinking about, you know, whether or not this Christianity stuff was true. And I mean, how did I know Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, some people think Elvis is alive. You know, what's up with that? And so I had this thing going on inside of me where I was a little bit rebellious against the Lord. And alongside that part of my life, and I'm not going to get into it in too great detail, but I got sick. You know, it's something that I still have to this day. And I'm not going to get into any great detail this morning. I will sometime when I know you a little bit better. All right, but I remember just thinking, man, there can't be God. Because there's no way this would happen to me. This isn't how my life was supposed to go. But let me tell you, while I was dealing with that sickness, was the very moment where I began to meet Jessica Keller. And see, what I thought was a tragedy for my life put me in the right position to where I met my wife, and I have two beautiful kids. And what I thought was something that was terrible was God just saying, hey, you know what? You're not ready yet. It's not time. And if I was willing to wait on the Lord, you know, it all happened. It all happened. You know, I think the last thing I want you to think about is that healing for a Christian is always available. And we don't need to ever give up on that. You know, my mama falling yesterday, she was like on the ground in her house from, I think, 7:30 to 2:30 in the morning, you know. She's 86. She had a beeper on that whole time. She's just too stubborn to push the button, okay? I don't know if you know any elderly women like that, but my mom, she was just too stubborn to push the button. And, you know, I started thinking about that yesterday, and I was kind of moping around a little bit. You know, she's in good mental health, but her body just can't carry her around anymore, basically. And so I started thinking about that, and I got a little bit of mopey about that. But look, even if God never heals her physically on this earth, she's a Christian. And when she dies, she's going to get immediate healing. And for some reason, as Christians, we have this perspective that the goal in life is that we keep on living and everybody else that we know should keep on living too. And that's just insane. I mean, nobody keeps on living forever except for Jesus Christ and those that have faith in him. So I just want to encourage you that if God doesn't bring that to your life, don't get down on the Lord, because you will be healed when you get to heaven. Healing is always available. And here's the last thing I want to end on. You know, I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk with Christ, but healing is always available spiritually with Jesus too. And that happened on the cross, where Jesus humbled himself. He took on our sin. He took on our suffering, all in one afternoon, and died so that we could live freely and not fear sickness, not fear disease, not fear death, not fear guilt, not fear shame, not fear hell, and be just like this leper was reunited with his loved ones after he brought healing. We get to be reunited with God every day because Jesus Christ brings healing to us. And I don't know where you are. Maybe you're a Christian and you've gotten away from the Lord and you feel guilty about how you've acted before the Lord. Let me just tell you, Jesus doesn't feel that way about you. He's wanting you to ask him for forgiveness, and he will. And he'll make you brand new, and you can live for him. You know, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, do that. Give your life over to Christ and experience what it means to be restored with God. You know, and if you're at a point in your life today where you're doubting the goodness of God because something's going on in your life, just remember, God is right there and he's available. Just approach him. Ask him. And you know what? It might not be time. But eventually, when the time is right, God will come through. Let's pray.